Hey guys, I'm so glad you are back with us, or maybe this is your first time jumping in. So hey, my name is Becca, and you are coming in partway through an interview with our doctor of the pod, Dr. Jamie Eller, as her and I are discussing what we love and what we hate about our hormones. And in this part, we are going to be discussing LH, the luteinizing hormone, and what we love and hate about it, and of course, progesterone, which we talk a lot about, and I think you guys are going to love it. I am currently still in a postpartum phase of life. And Jamie is in a perimenopause state of life. And we also talk about those two different phases and those trying to conceive, you know, and where your hormones fit into that. So it's a really important episode. I think you guys will learn a lot. And we also do have an extra guest on here. I just want to give a little forewarning. There's a rooster in the background on Jamie's porch. So if you didn't listen to part one, you may hear some crowing in the background. So that's what that is. So we have an extra fun friend with us today. And I do have a very, very, very special announcement that something is coming that is so special next week, you guys. So I'm just going to give you a little hint, a little preview of what it is. So I am doing a giveaway because we have officially, as a podcast, hit over 10,000 downloads. Like crazy, right? I'm so excited. We started the podcast in August and it has just really grown beyond what I ever could have imagined. And so I'm pumped. I'm excited. I want you to be excited too. And so just join in next week to be a part of that contest, that giveaway. I'm giving away some fun stuff and you can be a part of this big celebration of 10,000 downloads. So without further ado, let's get into this episode with Dr. Jamie. Hey sister, welcome to For the Love of Hormones. Have you been trying to get pregnant and you're struggling to trust God with His timing? Has a miscarriage made you question if you'll be able to carry a healthy pregnancy? Or maybe you're just confused about how to track your cycle and know what it means? Hey, I'm Becca. I'm a wife, a stay-at-home mom, and a daughter of God. I have three children here on earth and three babies in heaven. After our third miscarriage, I left the doctor's office wondering what I was doing wrong. I searched Google to learn more about cycle and hormonal health, but I was left feeling so confused until God revealed what I was missing, understanding my cycle and His design and how to support it naturally. In this podcast, you will find answers to all of your period, ovulation, and cycle questions so that you can find the path for getting pregnant in God's design. So sister, for the love of hormones, put the pregnancy test stick down because it's time for a Come to Jesus and Hormones meeting. Okay, so I'm imagining that if your FSH is super high and working really hard, but your estrogen isn't kicking up, you're probably not experiencing any LH right now. Where are you?
Yeah, nothing.
Yeah. Well, and I ask that too, because some women, I mean, obviously your case is different being in full on perimenopausal swing, but in some women who are dealing with PCOS, they have both elevated, I think it's elevated FSH and LH, or I know it's at least crazy ups and downs of LH.
Yeah, it's because there's different causes of PCOS. It's hard to say too, to speak on that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I know like FSH for sure.
Okay. So when we think about the luteinizing hormone, you know, one of the common misconceptions, I think, that women post, like I'm in the Anito Facebook group, which has like over 14,000 people or whatever. So it's a lot. So women are like posting their charts in there all the time. I pop in there every now and then. And it's very common of like, women are like, is that enough of an LH surge? And I think that's a common misconception that the bigger your LH surge, the more likely you're to ovulate. So I don't know if you know much about on that or if you want to speak on that or I can.
Yeah, I really don't, because I kind of quit looking into that because I don't even care if I ovulate. I just want hormones now.
Right. Yeah.
So I really haven't gone into that of the correlation. I don't think intuition alone, don't think that it matters, but I could be wrong.
No, it doesn't. Like what we're looking at is the whole ovulatory phase. We're looking at the cervical mucus and the increase in quality and quantity of the cervical mucus. That's the number one thing. And then when we do the urine test for the luteinizing hormone or LH, it can be different for every woman. And I mean, a woman who has like a level 30 versus a woman who has a level 10, the level 30 might not ovulate, the level 10 might. So,
right. I kind of, you know, just you speaking over this, have the thought of like, what if there's some women who are like, you know how we're insulin resistant? Mm-hmm. What if there's LH resistance? So the pituitary has to make even more to try to get a response. I don't know. I don't even know if that's a thing. That's just where my brain goes of like, what is?
I mean, and that's why you're so smart. And I think it is because that's what you see in women who are dealing with PCOS is you see these multiple LH surges and multiple LH spikes, and that is connected to the insulin. So, yeah. But the thing is like, it is important to see, did we have an LH surge and not just a bump? Like a bump probably is not going to be enough. But that's like one of the baby things that we look at when we're looking at the health of ovulation. And that's just like one tiny thing. And yet that's what women look at to see if they're ovulating, which I'm like, okay. I mean, that's one thing we're going to look at, but we have a lot of other things that we need to assess.
Yeah, that are probably more reliable too.
Absolutely. Yeah. But the luteinizing hormone is really, really important because it goes around the follicle and it luteinizes and then ruptures the follicle in ovulation. So it is really important that it's working well.
Without it, we do not get our precious progesterone.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So let's hightail into there. Progesterone. We could talk a lot about that. Oh, man. Okay. So progesterone. Jamie, what do you love about it? What do you hate about it?
What do I love? I love that it makes me think, like, it makes me not irritable. Like, my temper is a lot, my fuse is a lot shorter when the progesterone isn't around. So I definitely noticed that, like, and even my husband notices it too. He's just like, ooh, that was a little snappy. I'm like, yeah, guess what time of the month it is, you know? He's like, noted. And but I will say that, so like, as before I like got into this like full perimenopause swing of things, like before, like up to that point, like I started having like, my progesterone would be normal. Like it would get up there. That's when I was doing the Anito stuff. And like, I'd have a normal rise of progesterone and a normal fall. But then, when I started getting to this perimenopause stage, it was just like, oh, I had a good rise, but I had a steep drop after that. And I was having full blown symptoms from that. Like I felt like I was getting the flu. So like, I would like feel so bad all of a sudden, like my body ached, my bones hurt. I did not feel good. I was so tired to the point, like I could go home and just take a nap and on the couch, which is not normal for me. And like, I would text my boss and say, hey, I think I'm coming down with the flu. I don't think I'll be in the morning. And then they're like, okay. And then the next day I'd show up to work because I'd feel fine. And I had just started my period. And it was just like, yeah. And it was just because I was having these huge drops, steep drops in progesterone. I miss progesterone because it like made me have more patience. And it like, without it, like I do feel weaker. I feel more fatigued. I feel like I need to go home and take a nap. Yeah. So that's been my experience and what I love and hate about progesterone.
Yeah. Well, it's crazy because we talk about low progesterone, quote unquote. I know that's what a lot of listeners think is like, I have low progesterone and that's why I'm not getting pregnant. And it could very well be. And I think it's important to know, like, there's different types of low progesterone. You just described one of them. There's different types of luteal phase defects. And so you have one where, yeah, maybe you did ovulate, but maybe the ovulation was like, you know, the quality of ovulation starts to go down as you get further and further along in perimenopause. It's not to say like you're not going to have a random awesome ovulation every now and then, but it's now not going to be the norm. And so, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was my experience. Like I would have like 2 to 4 cycles of like, bleh, not so great. And then I'd have like 2 to 3 cycles that were awesome. And I'm like, great, I'm finally getting on track again. And then a couple months later, disappointment. And here I am again. So, and that's perimenopause. It's like, yeah, there's juice and there's no juice. There's juice and there's no juice. And it's just, you write that it's out like
you
for
just kinda have to
a while.
Almost just accept like, okay, this is the stage. And in FEM, we really look at the whole reproductive continuum, which is really amazing to look at. Oh my gosh. And that FEM Medical Management auditing course we're looking at, we're not even talking about when a girl enters puberty. We're talking about when the girl was in her mother's womb, which is fascinating to think about. Like when we were in our mother's womb, whatever our mother was doing, whatever she was intaking or whatever stress load she was carrying, is there are scientific studies that have connected that will impact the ovulatory health of the girl in her womb, which is insane. So like it starts there.
Not only that, it's the grandmother.
Oh, because, okay.
All right. You keep going.
Okay. So just think about it. Like your grandma was pregnant with your mom who had you inside of them in the form of an egg. Mm-hmm. So there's three generations there at one time.
Right. Yeah, no, that's so true. That's so true. I'm more than that. I actually don't get to know my biological maternal grandmother. So I'm like, dang it. I don't get to analyze her hormones and lifestyle. So.
I know, right?
Yeah. Okay. So we talked about luteal phase defects. So you had one of them where you do ovulate or, you know, maybe you ovulate or questionable health of the ovulation and it looks like it was a healthy ovulation. Then all of a sudden things just drop off. And what we really want to see in a healthy luteal phase is the beautiful bell curve where your progesterone goes up, it stays nice and high for a little while, and then it goes back down maybe a couple days before your cycle. And so if you experience those highs and lows, like it's so fascinating and sad to hear the effects of that.
Right. And so like if I was I wish I could go back in time like 2 years ago and be like actively trying to conceive right then. Cause we didn't try to conceive till about a year ago, like seriously. But, because I was still ovulating, I still had the ovulatory cycles and, I'd feel the ovulation occur. And, like at that point, all I needed like probably was like a little progesterone support.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But like, we weren't really trying back then because we got married during COVID. And like during the lockdown. And so like my husband was like, I want a year for us. It's just us before we try to add kids to this. And I was like, I can honor that totally. Well, then that year passed. And then he's like, hey, I want one more year because that year like didn't really count because yeah. It was COVID and all that craziness. I was like, okay, I can honor that. And then when we finally got to a point where we both were like, okay, like let's do it. It was, then I entered perimenopause and got to the point where I didn't have any hormones at all. So then everyone's like, oh, well, maybe you just need a little progesterone. I'm like, no, I need everything.
Everything. Yeah. Yeah. You'll have to look into I mentioned to Jamie, there's a hormone even before FSH called kisspeptin. So that would be interesting to do some research on and look into.
I'm totally going to do research on that. And we can speak on that another episode.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, I'm not quite ready to talk about it on the podcast yet. Cause it's like very, very, very scientific. It's crazy. So, for me, progesterone, has been a bumpy ride as it comes back from, you know, being pregnant. In pregnancy, your progesterone is crazy, crazy high. And then you give birth and it goes to zero, complete zero. So I actually encapsulated my placenta this birth and because the placenta is filled with all of the hormones too and nutrients and minerals and vitamins to sustain the baby's life. And it's kind of a natural way to get hormones in the postpartum phase. So I took that for I think like 2 or 3 months after birth. And like, I mean, that postpartum phase was like so awesome compared to the last one that I had where I had a crazy amount of anxiety. So it was a lot more calm and that was awesome. And then my ovulation started coming back and, you know, progesterone wasn't great. I definitely had some LUFs, luteinized unruptured follicles, where it looked like my body ovulated. Like I had the great LH surge. I had I still have hypothyroidism that I am working to try to like halfway naturally, halfway with medication, like get it balanced. And so I kind of have this ongoing cervical mucus, which is very annoying, especially when you're charting. So that's why I have to like use a lot of other things to really know where we're at. But, you know, it looked like I ovulated. And then my progesterone was kind of like, oh, you know, it kind of got a little high, kind of stayed a little high, but not really, you know. So it looked like, you know, my body attempted ovulation and then it didn't ovulate. So that happened for maybe two or three cycles. And then I had the cycle where I actually did have a beautiful bell curve of progesterone. And that's been that way the last few cycles. And so that's been really nice and hilarious because my hormones are talking, and I don't know if we went through like our healing journey from when we lost the three babies, and then we had this like 6 month period where we were working to get me healthy before we got pregnant again. And so I honestly don't know if I've had like an extended amount of like happy hormones ever, like ever. And so it's really cool living with like a healthy, balanced progesterone with like a, you know, cleansed out gut and liver. And me just standing in the cereal aisle where usually I don't give a hoot about what my husband eats and what kind of cereal he likes. I'm like, I just get whatever is healthy and organic and whatever. But I stood in the cereal aisle at Sprouts for like a solid 15 minutes being like, I have to find him a healthy, crunchy, organic version of the cereal that he loved before we went crazy. And I just like, I don't know, my progesterone was so talking, like that nurturing and caring and all of that. So it's literally hysterical. It's so funny. It's awesome.
That's hilarious. I love it.
Yeah, it's funny.
Is it? I think we were kind of talking about this before we started recording it, but it's just so crazy how our hormones like changes so much. Like I was talking about how like I went like half my life on the birth control pill. Mm-hmm. And back then I was so different and I was like not talkative. I mean, you couldn't pay me to talk. It's not like I didn't want to. It's like I had nothing to say. I was so short and direct. Like my parents even knew, like that's just how she is. She doesn't say much. You just sweet and simple and to the point. And then, and now that I've been off the pill probably 6 years-ish.
Yeah.
I'm a totally different person. And now I'm like on a podcast, easily talking for an hour. I could go for three. Like it wouldn't be a problem. Like get me on Joe Rogan. Like I can do it.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. And it's like crazy. Like my personality is totally different. My parents are probably like, who is this girl? Because they only experienced me like as that no estrogen version of me.
Yeah, it literally changed your personality. And that's just crazy to think about, because when we're on the birth control pill, like it's giving us a whole host of side effects. And it's like you're on day two or three of your period. Like the whole time. And anyone who knows like what day two or three of your period is like, you're just generally more quiet. You're generally more reflective. You generally don't have that much to say. Sometimes you're kind of generally grumpy, you know, and so it's like, that's not the way that God designed us to live for all of our days to serve him. Like it was designed for a few days out of each cycle.
I wonder if RBF is a side effect of birth control. Do you know what it is?
Oh dear, yes. Let's see if that's in a scientific research study.
Is it in the insert on the packaging? Because that was me for 20 years. Like people were like, is she mad? And I'm like, no, wow. I wasn't, but that, I'm not kidding. Like it could have been, I don't have that problem anymore. And like, I got off of the birth control pill and got my hormones back like just in time, because like I stepped out into direct primary care practice and like being a business owner and owning my own practice. And you have to talk, you have to like, it's, I'm still a physician, but I'm also a businesswoman now. And it's like, I'm like, could I have done this if I was still on the pill? Like, I don't know.
Oh my goodness. That's so crazy to think about.
I don't, because that version of me would have probably never even pulled the trigger to do it, because I would have been like, nope.
Yeah. Well, I remember in your testimony that you shared a long time ago that it was when you were in medical school that the Lord convicted you to stop taking the pill, right? So that is pretty interesting to think about how that influenced your medical school journey and everything after that.
Yeah, for real. Because it was like the moment, like, it's kind of funny. I never thought about it. It was like in a period of my training where I had just started interacting with people like on rotations. Like I was out of the lecture hall and I was in the hospital and like rounding and interacting with people daily on a regular basis. So that's, I've never thought of it like that. He was just like, "Hey girl, you really need to get off this."
It's impacting a lot of people now, right? Jamie. Man, well, that was a really, really fun conversation. I really appreciate just you coming on here and sharing. It's really fun to just be so comfortable and relaxed to discuss both of our hormonal journeys and what we love and hate and all of that. But ultimately, all glory to the Lord. And we're going to go through trials. You know, you're going through a trial right now. And these trials are to strengthen us and to mature us. And so I'm going to pray over you, Dr. Jamie, and I'm going to pray over everyone listening as we kind of close out and seek the Lord. Lord Jesus, I just thank you so much for allowing us to record today and just honor you in how you designed us, God. How you designed us is really good and really, really cool and really awesome. And we praise you and thank you for the ways that you've made us and how we've gotten to just reflect on you today in that way. And Lord, we mourn, as in Romans 8:22-23, we mourn as in the whole earth and the whole creation is groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, just waiting for you to come back. And we feel that. I know Jamie's feeling that in this difficulty of perimenopause. I know that these listeners are feeling it, like this groaning, awful, super duper intense pain of just wanting to have a child and, or just recovering from a miscarriage and just wanting to healthfully carry a baby all the way to delivery, Lord. And this is really hard. And so God, I just pray you would encourage and affirm Jamie in this trial. I pray you would encourage and affirm every listener in this trial that, this pain and this suffering is earning for them a crown of life that they will receive on the day of Christ when they meet you face to face. And please help us to remember that we live not for today. We live not for the things of today, even if it's something as beautiful and glorious as a child. We live not for that, but we live for you. And we live for being in eternity with you and reigning with you, Jesus Christ. And I just pray you would help us to remember and have fixed eyes on you. And when we are suffering and in the lowest of low valleys, that you would just be right there with us in the fire as we suffer, Lord, and that we would be thankful, knowing and praising you because we are not alone and you are right there with us and you are making something glorious out of this situation that we can't even fathom. And so, Lord, I just pray, I pray for affirmation and encouragement for this, for Jamie and all of our listeners. I pray for absolute healing. I do pray for healthy babies, Lord, even for Jamie, when it seems like it's absolutely impossible. You are God, and I do pray for that, Lord. Please let your hands be upon her. Let your hands be upon our listeners, and I just pray you would grace them with that gift and that you would receive all of the glory, Lord. I pray all these things in your holy name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, friend.
Welcome. Okay, girl, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If so, would you please take 30 seconds and leave a quick review on Apple Podcasts? Literally just pause this, scroll on down, click write a review, and I promise it'll take 2 seconds, well, maybe like 25 seconds, and it would bless me so much to see what you thought about this episode and to hear your feedback. And also, if you could share this in a quick text message to the friend or family member that you were thinking of while listening to this episode, that would be awesome. It just lights me up to know that this podcast is helping you and other people. And girl, I pray that your progesterone is awesome. I'll meet you back next Thursday for another episode. Have a blessed day.